If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
What's up and welcome back to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, January 26th, 2024. Of course, I am Tim Geddes, and today I am joined by one of my favorite people in the world, Lucy James.
Aw, thanks. Woo!
How you doing, Lucy?
I'm doing well, thank you. Yeah, well, I mean, in the words of British comedian John Robbins, broadly fine in spite of factors.
Yes.
Because this week has...
There's been a lot of bad stuff going on, yeah.
I'm emotionally... I mean, I'm fine.
Yeah.
You know, got my health, got my cat, cats.
Yeah.
But you know, it's rough to kind of always be completely upbeat when everything is just falling apart around.
I went to dinner with Gia last night and she was like, you seem just more dead than normal. Like was yesterday like harder than, or was today harder than normal? And I was like, it really was. And I'm like, yeah. I was busy. I was on a lot of shows, had a lot of meetings. I was very back to back yesterday, but I was like, but I am all the time. Like, I don't know why I'm extra worn out. And I was like, it's because I woke up feeling like shit hearing the news and like having to talk about it again, you know? And well, I'm just like, it's just taking its toll on everything.
The thing is that I didn't even, so obviously referring to the Xbox layoffs, I didn't even see it on Twitter first. I saw it because I went on Instagram and someone that I'm friends with posted something on their Instagram story that was like, not again. And I immediately knew what it was.
I know.
That's how commonplace it is.
That's how commonplace it is. But it's Friday, Lucy.
It is Friday.
We have a weekend ahead of us. We have the Royal Rumble tomorrow. I'm very excited about that. I doubt you are.
So I'm not excited about it. I'm really sorry I got your hopes up there.
It's all good. It's all good.
But I'm more excited because I am going to see Futurama at Sketchfest tomorrow. That's the right response.
I'm very jealous.
So what's that mean? Is it like a table read?
Read by the cast of Futurama.
Whoa.
Oh, shit.
That's really cool.
That's Luce, where I'm going to be.
I'm gonna be at the Avatar thing on Sunday. Oh. I'm very excited about that.
Oh, mate. Yes.
Last Airbender, Tim, not your blue people.
Not the blue people.
So sad.
Fine. Yeah. But that's my Royal Rumble.
Yeah. What's the like quick word on the street about this Netflix Avatar thing? Because everything I'm seeing... I'm like, it looks surprisingly cool. Like the fight scenes and CGI stuff. I'm like,
Barrett.
Barrett, sorry. He has something to say here.
This is always the tough thing when trying to adapt animation or anime or anything of the sort into live action, because there's something about that medium that can pull off the tonal shifts of something very cool and serious and action and all that stuff, and then also jumping into the jokes of it being a kid's show and it's goofy and all that stuff. And so from the trailers, like, yes, you're right. Like the vibes from the fights and all that stuff, I'm really liking it. I think like the cast is looking good. I love who they got for Uncle Iroh. I think it's hard for me to watch the trailers and not get emotional, but I think they're cheating a little bit because of the music, because the music is so iconic.
But, using the music.
They're using the music. And not every adaptation uses the music. So, and that is completely fair. So you know what? Like, yeah, they're not doing the Halo thing, right?
Or the Death Note thing. Like, Death Note had so many problems with it. To me, the chief problem is it didn't use the fucking music. Yeah. And it's like... God, it's so freaking good. But
then at the same time, Bebop did, and...
Yeah, but Bebop... Yeah, yeah.
Bebop is another can of worms that
we could do
a whole podcast on. But I'm morbidly curious. Like, I'm going to re-sign up for Netflix. I haven't had Netflix in like a year and a half just to check it out and to make an excuse to catch up on other things that I know people have been asking me to watch.
Blue-Eyed Samurai?
Yes,
Tam was on to me about it yesterday.
Yeah, Blue-Eyed Samurai. There's a bunch of other stuff that just in like the last year or so that I know Alyssa wants to watch as well. So it's got me interested enough to at least try it. But it'll definitely be better than the movie adaptation.
Yeah. Slightly Adore in the chat says, if you want a good live action Death Note, check out the old Japanese ones. Even those didn't use the music. If they did, I'd say they were great, but they don't. So I'm like, they're actually not that good. But where are you at with Avatar?
I'm cautiously curious.
Okay.
However, the one thing that has really got my attention, and I'm really glad that Netflix is leaning into it, Daniel Day Kim. My God.
Yeah, you make a really good point.
Yeah, he's
you make
a really good point. I will watch just for him.
He makes people make noises. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Let me do some research.
Barrett's on it. Everyone prepare to make some noises.
Make some noises for Daniel Day Kim.
While he does that, let me just tell you, of course, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. We're each and every weekday. We get to
good Lord.
Yeah. That's awesome. What a world we live in that this image exists and we're going to see it move. But today's stories include Nintendo's next console could have an LCD screen. Boo! But I understand. But
okay.
Boo!
Okay.
Bad news for physical retail. Boo! This is a bad day for Tim, man. And more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we run you through all the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, please support us with the Kind of Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free. Watch us record them live and get a daily exclusive show. For a chance to be part of the show, you can submit your thoughts and opinions as YouTube Super Chats as we go. If we're talking about a story, send something in. We'll try to get to it then. If it's not about the story, we'll get to it at the end of the show. A little housekeeping for you. A new PS I Love You XOXO is up right now, all about 2023's games versus 2024 games. You can check that out on YouTube and podcast services. Interesting topic. I like that. How was this episode, Barrett?
It was a good, interesting one of like, I think it kind of, not devolved, but it turned into like, all right, you're on an island and you got, we're at the end of 2024 and you have to pick what games you're bringing with you. The games that came to the PS5 in 2023 or the games that came to the PS5 in 2024. And talking about the limitless potential of this year and how great of a year it already is without knowing too much after March, right? So really interesting conversation. The first time we're using this new two-chair set without the desk. So.
Yeah, very, very cool stuff. Check that out. And Kung Fu Panda in Review is up right now, youtube.com/kindoffunny, episode 1. The next couple weeks, we'll be going through the Kung Fu Panda series as we prepare for Kung Fu Panda 4 coming out.
I didn't even know they were making a Kung Fu
Panda 4. They're making a 4. Have you ever seen?
I've seen one.
Yeah, I've never, until yesterday, I've never seen it. So,
do you enjoy it?
Well, you're going to have to check
out Kind of Funny's
interview to find out. Thank you to our Patreon producer, Delaney Twining. You are absolutely the best. Today, we're brought to you by the Kind of Funny membership, but I'll tell you about that later. Before we get into the Roper Report, though, we got a couple super chats that I want to read off real quick. Cognitive Clip saying, always great seeing Lucy on. And Raymond K. Hessel says, showing some love to your amazing host. Hire her. A lot of Lucy
thank
fans
you.
Out there. So thank
Very
you so
sweet.
Much
you.
For
Love
the
me.
Support. But for now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 5 stories today.
A Baker's Dozen.
Story number 1, Nintendo's next Switch is coming this year with an LCD screen. Omdia says, this comes from Omdia. Takashi Mochizuki and Yuki Furukawa at Bloomberg Report. Nintendo will launch a new console this year with an 8-inch LCD screen. The new device will be responsible for a doubling in shipments of so-called amusement displays in 2024, Hayase said in Tokyo on Friday. His research focuses on small and medium displays, and he bases annual forecasts on checks with companies in the supply chain. Nintendo's 7-year-old Switch has sold over 132 million units and is approaching the end of its life cycle. The company has been tight-lipped about any potential successor, but expectations have narrowed to this year's holiday period for the release of the next generation. Osaka-based Sharp Corp last year said it was supplying LCD panels and working closely with the maker of an upcoming console that was then at the R&D stage. Sharp, which is owned by Foxconn Technology Group, has worked with Nintendo in the past and served as a Switch assembler during the pandemic. A Nintendo spokesman said the company had nothing to comment on. Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely.
Lucy, do you have comments?
Please, God, Nintendo, it has to be this year. Come on.
Yeah.
Like that just, you know, it's been, what, it'll be 8 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I mean, it had a good run. It had an amazing, incredible run.
Debatably the best run.
I would agree with that.
I mean, the thing is, you can call it cheating in some ways because of the amount of ports that it had.
Mm.
But I would argue that there hasn't been, and this is a perfect you're wrong type statement, but there hasn't been a Wii U port that is worse than the Wii U version. Like, all of them are the best versions of the games. Mm-hmm. Most of them add a lot of things like Bowser's Fury or mm-hmm. Mario Kart 8 adding, legitimately double the amount of courses that the game has. Smash Ultimate, et cetera, et cetera. You get the point.
Breath of the Wild. Never forget that was dual release. I guess it was different. It was dual release.
Yeah, but Breath
of the Wild. But it's so weird to think that it came out in the
Wii. That is weird to think about, yeah.
No. I mean, in terms of Switch stuff, I think it's also interesting to see that while everyone else, Xbox, we've unfortunately seen what their refresh is going to be because of the leaks and everything. PlayStation, talking about teraflops and the power of the solid state drive. Then there's Nintendo being like, we're just going to do our little handheld thing again. It's fine. And then, obviously still going from leaks and everything. It not being as powerful is interesting. But then Nintendo doesn't have to do what everyone else does. They set trends in a different way. I'm just really interested to see. If it does come out this year, I'm really interested to see what the retention is going to be like. How are they going to, they have such a huge install base, 132 million out in the wild. Nothing to be sniffed at. That is unbelievable. How are you going to get people interested in a new console?
I actually think that they are perfectly primed to do just that. I think that this is the first time potentially in Nintendo's history that they are, when it comes to their software, when it comes to their IP, and when it just comes to where the industry is at, this is the cleanest transition to a next generation that they could have. So many things could happen. The weird Nintendo decisions can come out of left, right, center, anywhere at any moment. So we'll see. But normally, and I've talked about this a lot recently, but Nintendo has a major problem for end of life cycle support. When you look at N64, and online's a major thing too. But when you look at N64, even going to the Super Nintendo, it had some bangers coming out after the N64, but they were so few and far between. It'd be one game coming out every 4 months or so. And that was it. N64 was even worse than that. It was one game every 6 or 7 months. GameCube had a very similar thing. And then the Wii, for all its success, also had that moment that then led to the Wii U, which was even worse, right? Their handheld side of things sometimes is different than that. But now that they're both combined, they have more options for software. And on top of that, because we've had this amazing, very supported 7 years with the Switch 1, where we've gotten installments in essentially all the major franchises, a couple exceptions there, but especially when you include ports or remasters or whatever, we've got most of them there. It's refresh time, it's sequel time, it's the next iteration time.
So do you think they will focus on new games completely for Switch 2 and leave Switch in the dust? If you want to play those sequels, you're going to have to get Switch 2? Or do you think there will be this crossover period for a little bit where it's you can play it on here, or you can play it on a 1-inch bigger screen?
I'm pretty staunch in the side that I think that there is going to be more compatibility between the Switches.
The
more I think about it, the more Switch 2 seems to be what I think that they're going to do, even though that doesn't seem like a Nintendo move.
Mm.
I feel like it does seem like a Nintendo Switch mindset move, and that's kind of how you get people to be I want a Switch too. I do want that thing. And I think the best way to support that is with a consistent banger lineup of games that the people want. And we are overdue for a Mario Kart, for a 3D Mario, for an Animal Crossing, for a, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Metroid Prime.
And then Metroid Prime 4 being the big hardcore thing, right? And it's interesting to look at Zelda, which traditionally was a hardcore game with mainstream potential, but it never quite hit that mainstream potential until Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
And I feel like Metroid Prime 4, I don't think it'll be Breath of the Wild levels. We could hope.
Big.
But I do think it has the chance to be the biggest Metroid game ever by a substantial margin.
Oh, 100%. And also they've primed the audience with a remake and kind of gauging interest and
Dread.
Dread, of course.
Amazing.
Nintendo, they are just a very, you can never count them out. They work in such mysterious ways. I would love to see, do you think they just saw 2023 being so packed, and they were like, all right, we'll put out our stuff, and then the big stuff, a new console, we'll hold that. Like, do kind of what Rockstar does, where it's like, no, this is our time. Everyone else move out of the way.
I almost feel like, going back to what I was saying about previous Nintendo generations, like, being so like, oh, we don't have anything left to put out. That's just not the case this time. Like,
well, that's saying everyone is like, Nintendo just holds on to stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what is so interesting to me. I'm like, no one else really works like that. Everyone is like, ship it, get it out before the financial year's ever, get it.
Yeah. And, you know, I do think that there's going to be many interesting conversations had over the next couple of years as more and more data comes out or conversations are had about the ballooning budgets of games. And as these layoff conversations continue to go, how it all intermingles to become like, what are games going to look like? What is a AAA game? How many PlayStation Studios titles are we going to get? Like, as we saw, we got back-to-back-to-back multiple a year for so long, and then now it's like, are we going to get that this year? Probably not. Are we going to get it next year? What's this going to... Can Naughty Dog even do this? Insomniac's out there doing God's work, right?
Unfortunately, we do know what Insomniac's got.
And that too, you know? But that's
not this year.
It's not. But with Nintendo, because they are less powerful consoles, it seems like even the Switch 2 is also going to be that. It feels like for the first time ever, Nintendo's designing within its means as opposed to doing something weird and different for the sake of being weird and different.
I think that's really good because Nintendo, because their consoles have been typically less powerful, they have become so creative in what they are able to do, and they are masters of their own hardware and like its limitations, and they can think and work creatively within it. Like, yeah, I mean, Breath of the Wild definitely was struggling a little bit at launch, and Tears of the Kingdom had some stuttering issues and everything, and like, yeah, that's gonna happen, but it is incredibly impressive what they managed to pack onto that little cartridge thing.
Yeah, and I think it really goes back to the design philosophy of what Nintendo games are, and they hit. We see it, they hit, and they don't need to look much better than they currently do.
Other thing I would always argue, like, a distinct eye-catching art style is way more interesting to me than ray tracing, photorealism, 4K teeth, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I would rather have something that looks eye-catching, and I'm like, oh, I know what that is.
And I'm firmly in the why not both camp, where I want the distinct art style with, I mean, at the very least, I just want a 4K menu, Nintendo. Come on, that's what I'm looking for here. Maybe a couple more color options for the themes. But real talk, though, I just feel like Nintendo are primed for an amazing launch lineup of our first year. They had such a great year with Switch 1, where we had Breath of the Wild, we had Mario Kart, we had Mario Odyssey, right? And it's like, and then not too long after that, like the rise to Animal Crossing, I almost feel like we're going to get a repeat for the Switch 2. Sequels to all of those things. We got ARMS, a new IP that kind of came out of nowhere. It didn't set the world on fire, but we got
1-2 Switch.
We did get 1-2 Switch. We don't talk about that, though. But ARMS, I do think is, again, didn't hit the way that it needed to, but you got to appreciate that Nintendo, and I think Splatoon's actually a better example of this. Like, they still try to put out new IP. Yes, they're going to have 20,000 games with Mario in the title, but they are trying to make new magical characters and worlds and moments.
Yeah, and Splatoon, like, that scene is still popping off. They have the Splatoon Invitational and everything. And I did see in the chat someone mentioned about Pokemon. Yep, I'm not a Pokemon person. Forgot that kind of ran, like, ass.
Oh, horribly. So, I am a Pokemon person, and it breaks my fucking heart. I still love it, but... so I think Nintendo is going to like destroy, obviously, but my bigger questions are, is there a weird gimmick that's going to get in the way, or are they just going to stay in line and it's the Switch 2? There's been rumors of dual screen stuff, which I'm praying is not the case. Will the Joy-Cons still be compatible, or is it a completely new system? Like, there's a lot of big questions that I think we're going to find out not too long from now.
I mean, this is kind of the time, the direct sort of time of year. It's also the PlayStation State of Play time of year. So I'm really hoping we hear something soon. In terms of gimmick things, I honestly don't know. Because at this point, if you kind of compare what they did with the Wii to Wii U, where they had such a runaway success with the Wii, and then they went too far, of course, with the Wii U, like... Obviously, that ended up getting them to the Switch. Do you think after the extreme success of the Switch, they would want to risk it?
I don't. Yeah, I really don't. Like, I think that they... it's impossible to predict Nintendo, but because I mean, infamously, and there's so much video footage of this, I love that it's all on camera. Leading into the Switch launch, me and Kevin, there were so many videos on Gamescast of me hyping up the Switch of like all the things they announced, like they're a big event in Japan, their big event in New York, of like they're going to announce the Switch lineup of what everything is. And it felt like limitless of like, oh my God, they're going to do this, they're going to do this, they're going to do this. And then we went there and it was 1-2 Switch. And it was one of the worst presentations we've ever seen. And like, you could watch me die in real time on my live reaction.
Oh.
Greg and Colin were at home reacting to it at our old studio. Me and Kevin were literally on a hotel bed laying next to each other reacting to this. And I start off like, let's go! And by the end of it, I'm like... But then it ended with the Breath of the Wild trailer, which changed my life. So I can't complain too much.
Yep.
How are you feeling about this screen?
I have a prediction, Tim, of what they do from the Switch 1 to Switch 2 to like really drive people to get over, make the jump, and not just in a software, but in a hardware sense. They bring back the C-Stick.
Jesus.
And games will eventually only be exclusive to play with the C-Stick on the Switch 2.
That's
just
it.
Just like the 3DS.
That's it. God.
The sicko's back.
Who knows, man? They're Nintendo. They'll do anything. But I do think the news today, as much as it upsets me, paints a picture to me that I think that it is the Switch 2. I think they're going to just stay in line with what they're doing. I don't think they're going to rock the boat too much. I think they're going to try to target the audience that they have, which is 132 million plus owners of the Switch that want to play these games. The Mario movie just came out. There are more people interested in Nintendo than ever. I feel like they just want to continue the success train rolling. So LED screens, LCD screen, one of the biggest bummers I could possibly imagine, Lucy, as somebody that is...
You're about that OLED life.
I am, man.
You advised me on a TV.
I love OLED more than most things in this world. You know what I mean? Like, I'm pretty sure, I'm not even going to put an order to this. There's Gia, Moose and Toretto, and OLED, all right? You guys can figure out the order. I'm not even that sure at this point, okay?
I really hope you'll see. They are not watching.
And Nintendo's on the list too, all right?
Okay, good.
So any combination of those things? I want in my
chat's
life.
Chat's asking about Cool Greg as well.
Go, Cool Greg's there too. Cool Greg's there too. Yeah. But I'm really bummed about this because I know I'm obnoxious about the OLED stuff. You guys fucking get it. I don't need to get into all the details about that. But legitimately, OLED is one of my favorite technologies to ever exist because it just makes everything look so much better. It makes things look the way that they should. And it even, like, playing Switch games on the Switch OLED feels like an upgraded experience.
I got one with Red Dead. I was like, oh my God, this is how it's meant to be.
It's
like,
beautiful.
It's
and
stunning.
It's just like playing Mario Kart, playing Metroid Dread, playing Prince of Persia Lost Crown. Like, it just looks so good where even if the resolution's not what it needs to be and all this stuff, it's like the colors pop so much where it's just so impressive. Super Mario RPG is a stunner of a game. And this goes back to what we were talking about. Nintendo has art style. Yep. They have color. They have like so much character in their characters. You add OLED to that and it just like, it enhances it so much.
There was one game that you bought recently on the Switch that like I would not have recommended to play on a Switch unless it was an OLED screen, and that's Persona 5. Like I've tested what Persona 5 looks like and like how it runs and stuff, like whatever, but like the seeing that on an OLED screen, even that small, like that shit looks good, man.
So it's very unfortunate, specifically in a world that, I mean, legitimately, I never thought we would have seen a Nintendo Switch OLED to begin with. So the fact that we did, I was like, whoa, this is crazy, because they just don't care about tech that way. But for them to take a step back, it's really a bummer to me and to many people out there, but I totally understand the business decision.
There will be a refresh in a year or two,
There's going to be us, Tim. We're going to double dip.
Mm-hmm.
They fucking got our number, man.
Yeah. So it's definitely a bummer to me. But I get it, and I think you said this earlier, but LCD is going to make the price lower. They're going to want to get the price of this thing as low as possible, get as many units out there to build the install base to then sell the software to. That's Nintendo's strategy. So don't please, Tim. You already got me. You already know I'm going to fucking buy it. You got me the goddamn balls, all right? I'm going to buy this Switch. I'm going to buy the OLED Switch and, like, fuck, okay, whatever. But I don't even feel bad about that because I know that they're going to provide me with so
hundreds
much enjoyment,
of
so many games, all of the stuff. I just want the OLED. And every time I pick it up, I'm going to be like, this isn't right. Yeah. This just isn't right.
I really hope they lean, they continue to lean into color customization options, Switch docks, if it even has a dock, of famous characters. And, you know, the Animal Crossing Switch was so nice. The Switch, well, the Switch lights as well, like the different color combinations. They just announced those little pastel pink Joy-Cons. I really hope they continue doing that because I think they also know that people don't just want the white or the gray one out of the box. They want something that has that pop of color that reflects them.
Mm-hmm.
And also you can, you know, more people will be like, oh, that's, I think that matches my stuff. I'll get that.
Yeah.
So I really hope they do that.
There is the like hopium part of me that's like, well, this is just a rumor.
I know.
Look, you know what I mean?
Look, I know, but the thing is, it's a rumor, grain of salt time. But they are piling up, man.
Yeah, I know.
And I feel like at this point... It is what it is.
I do have a very important announcement to make.
Go on.
That I haven't told anybody yet. And I'm really excited about this. And I hope that many other people in the other room are watching right now. In line with this conversation, I did something last night.
You do?
It was like, I don't know, 12:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Pulled out my phone. I was laying in bed. She is asleep next to me. Got Below Deck on the TV.
Hell yeah.
Chilling there. And I'm like, huh. There's a Steam Deck OLED in my shopping cart. Do I hit? Oh, oops.
Yes.
Oops.
Good job.
Good job, bud. I'm proud of you.
It's on the way, everybody. It's on the way.
I am proud of
you. I got sold. I love OLED too much.
Yeah.
I love OLED too much. I got to support the tech.
Did you think that was like the precursor to this new story coming out?
I signed my own fucking death here?
You felt a disturbance in the force and you were like, I need to get some handheld OLED because I feel something is coming that's not right.
Honestly, I just, what it really comes down to for me is I've been playing with the PlayStation Portal a lot and I love it so much. Mm. But it's not an OLED.
It's not an OLED.
It's a pretty decent LCD
it's
screen.
It's a great though. LCD yeah. screen. But it's not an OLED, everybody. Story number two. Xbox has reportedly shut departments dedicated to bringing games to physical retail. This comes from Tom Ivan at VGC. Mass layoffs at Microsoft's gaming division this week reportedly includes the closure of departments dedicated to bringing physical games to market. On Thursday, the company said it plans to lay off 1,900 staff across Xbox, Bethesda, and Activision Blizzard. The cuts are believed to be wide-ranging, impacting various areas of Microsoft's gaming business from customer service to development. Quote, Microsoft has also shut down departments dedicated to bringing Xbox games to physical retail, which if you've seen the digital-only Xbox console leaks, well, you can get an idea of where Microsoft is going here, according to Windows Central editor Jez Corden's sources. Note, reducing retail teams doesn't confirm Microsoft is quitting physical retail for Xbox games yet. They can outsource and might be consolidating here, he added.
Dude.
Yeah.
I'm a bummer.
Yeah.
I mean, layoffs alone, an incredible bummer. I think, not to say this was in the tea leaves, but it's been very interesting to see that in revenue reports for Microsoft and for Xbox, they are always talking about how much money Game Pass is bringing in. Subscription revenue is so important to them. They don't have to pay a middleman there. They don't have to pay Target or Walmart or Best Buy to get it on shelves. God, I didn't even say game. I've fully become American.
That's awesome.
But you don't have to take into account the retailer there and whatever their cut's going to be. The cost of distribution, the cost of actually making that stuff. And we've seen, you know, those reports from a couple of weeks ago where, was it Walmart giving away copies of Starfield, you know, the biggest Xbox game of last year for a few cents?
Literally a few cents.
A few cents. And then you've got the trend of Alan Wake different because it's not an Xbox published game, but then Hellblade coming out and being like, digital only, no box. This is kind of in the tea leaves that they are making moves away from this, as well as the leaked stuff from the court case. It sucks. And I think it's part of the broader conversation about how we get games, you know, having access to high-speed internet that you can download a 100-gigabyte game. In some places, people don't have that. It is a privilege to have it. Like, you know, it's one of the first things I did when I moved into my apartment. I was like, okay, yo, what's my internet speed going to be? Because that's my life. For some people, that's not the case, and internet is expensive. Comcast they like doubled my bill, and I was like, excuse me?
Is Sonic available?
No. But I rang them and I got a very nice person and they said, oh, it's because your thing, always, always ring. If they up your bills, always ring them. Because then they're like, oh, I'm really sorry. Yeah, your contract expired. So we just put you on the most expensive one, but we'll actually put it back down. So, you know, shout out
to them. Everyone.
Yeah. But what I was saying, and so digital only is dangerous. And we've seen things get yanked. People buy things. And what happens when they're not available anymore? Xbox really doubling down on this is, I can see the case for it. It's also concerning as a collection and from a collection and preservation standpoint.
Absolutely. I am a physical collector of many things. It is a problem. I was just talking to my brother about
this OLED devices.
OLED devices for sure. But like, no, I like collecting specifically like Blu-rays and CDs, but like games as well. And I have to try to limit like how crazy I get about it all because I'm very obsessive. But I love physical media and I do not want it to go away. And it is such a bummer. I've talked about this a million times recently, but going to Best Buy, which is like something, a sacred experience to me. Like I love that. I have my entire life walking in, looking at the movies. Like if you go to Target, it's like, you know, we're here for this, but I gotta walk through the movie aisle, see what's up. And they literally don't exist anymore as of a couple weeks
ago. So the Target near me is depressing to walk through because, I mean, not only, you know, that's the Target thing of everything is behind a locked case, but if you go to the gaming section in my Target, there are just cards with download codes for everything. And then the actual games that they have themselves, they have maybe one or two.
And they're
and it's nothing. And it's like,
they're not even presented correctly. They're presented just kind of like thrown around.
Not presented correctly. Sometimes it's not even the game that's come out that week. It's like, I think it was, obviously Call of Duty didn't have this problem. It was some big game. And I was like, oh, I wonder if they, you know, they think they've got it. And they didn't even have it. It was very, very strange. And then, just sad to see. And like, you know, not even going to the shop, going to Blockbuster.
Of course.
And just like, what can I rent for the week that I can...
And you know, that experience has just shifted and changed to blading through Netflix or like blading through Game Pass or whatever it is.
And that's the thing. It's you, when you are then, you're then reliant on whoever has curated that, or maybe an AI has curated it based on your taste. That feels very weird. It doesn't feel like, you know, because there are hundreds, thousands of games on those services. How on earth are you as a consumer, as a customer, as a gamer, supposed to just go through everything and just figure something out like what you like? You can't. I don't know, there's the tactile feeling of picking a box off and looking at the back, because that's another thing we're losing. Just like in DVDs and movies, losing bonus features behind the scenes. Gaming, we're kind of missing that, like, oh, what's on the back of the box? What pictures have they used? What's in the manual, man?
Yeah, totally.
That's sad.
Having said all that, despite being a huge proponent of this stuff, I'm a proponent for it, and this is a personal thing, but for collector reasons. Because when's the last time I put a game disc in a system? I could not tell you.
Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, even then, though, that was years ago.
I did it about 6 months ago. I had a hell of a time, though. So that's the thing. So I also appreciate the fact that it provides players with choice. I think, you know, if you want to have that digital only lifestyle, if you don't want to have a bunch of boxes and stuff, you have that choice. However, digital only landscape can also be, and maybe this is just my very particular situation, because as a British person with a British PSN account, and I know that's not Xbox, Xbox actually does this really well, changes regions, no issues, but I have a British PSN account. I tried to play Bloodborne the other day. Do you know what I had to do, Tim?
Change the frequency? Like the hertz?
No, I had to try and go on the British Amazon website to buy a code for British PSN credit so that I could buy Bloodborne, because my game didn't work because my save is tied to the British one, but then I had to buy it on American. And so I have an American version. So now none of my saves or trophies are compatible. It's, and that's the thing, like companies don't necessarily think of those very specific use cases, but I have an account that I've spent hundreds, thousands of pounds on. All my trophies are on there. And I struggle to access.
Yeah.
Like, I can't just get the game and hit go, which is the big
what
thing.
What
these need to be. Like, if you are pushing people towards an all digital future, that has to be as frictionless as possible.
Yeah.
And I know this is just my case, but I assume a bunch of people have issues with digital stuff too. Like, do you remember what was on Xbox stuff where it was like, oh, you're not connected to the internet, so yeah. you can't actually play
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We've been slowly transitioning, and there's always going to be the fringe issues.
And it's getting better.
And it's getting way, way, way better. And I bring this up all the time. People get mad at it, but it's like every year developers put out the pie chart of how many physical sales versus digital, and every year the digital gets more and more and more and more and more.
And the thing, in the UK, I don't even think they have the digital when it comes to the charts.
Uh-huh.
Because no
we
one
always
has...
get those, yeah, the UK numbers. Like, we always get the physical conversations, yeah. and that's always a headline here.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Something to talk about. But, yeah, it is a bummer, but it's also, it's an inevitable future. It's inevitable present. We're here. Mm-hmm. It's happening. And we've already seen it. Like, Xbox has been putting out games, their core games, that don't even have a physical release. And that's just, we're
Which
there.
Is why,
There's
though?
There's no change in it. It sucks.
companies like I Am 8-Bit and folks like those, like, purposefully putting together physical copies, and that, like, the collectors want to buy mm-hmm. because they are bespoke. They have all the bonus feature stuff in. They've got physical things. And, like, I think that's really cool. And I hope to see more of that, too. If we are going to go down this.
That stuff will never go away.
Digital road.
I think that stuff, I mean, that's like vinyls. Like, they're back more than ever because, like, there is a market for it. But the market's not that big. It is clearly not the biggest market. So we'll see. But while we're seeing things, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny or get a membership over on YouTube to get the show ad-free. But for everyone else, here's a word from our sponsors.
Kinda Funny turns 9 years old today. We could have made it 9 days without your support. That's why 2024 is all about doubling down on our shows and making it simpler than ever for you to get the most out of our content. Our revamped Kinda Funny membership is your one-stop shop for all our amazing content, which now includes on a weekly basis, the Kinda Funny podcast, In Review, the Kinda Funny Games Cast, PS I Love You XOXO, the Kinda Funny X Cast, the brand new series Kinda Funny Game Showdown. Five episodes of Kinda Funny Games Daily, and five exclusive Gregway vlogs.
And 5 days of streaming fun with me and the gang here in our newly revamped streaming space. It's gonna be filled with a ton of laughter and a whole lot of shenanigans. We'll see you there.
That's more than 20 pieces of content a week from an 11-person independent team in San Francisco. That's a lot. And to get the most out of it, all we're asking for is $10. $10 gets you the Kinda Funny membership, and that entitles you to ad-free versions of the shows, the ability to watch the podcast live as we record them, and the exclusive access to my daily show, Gregway. You can get your Kinda Funny membership on patreon.com/kindoffunny or youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Yes, we are expanding our Kinda Funny membership offering to YouTube, so people can take full advantage of the platform they prefer. If you want to go above and beyond the Kinda Funny membership to support us, we will still have higher Patreon tiers, albeit with some changed up perks. We just wanted to make the message as clear as possible that the $10 Kinda Funny membership is for the masses to get all the core content people love. Everything above that is very appreciated. The support means the world to us. You all are the best. But the $10 Kinda Funny membership available on both patreon.com/kindoffunny and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames is where we see the value of what we do. Kinda Funny is a dream come true, and we wouldn't have it without you. We hope if you've ever enjoyed the content, you can support us for at least a month as we prepare for our biggest year ever. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate.
However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
And we're back with story number three. Apple opens App Store to game streaming services. This comes from Andrew Webster at The Verge. Starting today, Apple is opening up its App Store to allow game streaming apps and services. This means that services like Xbox Cloud Streaming and GeForce Now, which previously were only accessible on iOS via a web browser, will be able to offer full-featured apps. Developers can now submit a single app with the capability to stream all of the games offered in their catalog, Apple wrote in a blog post. These changes apply worldwide, according to the company. In 2020, Apple appeared to have carved out a space for these cloud gaming services in the App Store, but that turned out not to be the case, as all games available through each service had to be submitted and reviewed as a standalone app. So the shift to allow one app with a large catalog of games marks a major change. As part of today's announcement, Apple said that each experience made available in an app on the App Store will be required to adhere to all App Store review guidelines, and its host app will need to maintain an age rating of the highest age-rated content included in the app. Apple also says that developers will now be able to provide enhanced discovery opportunities for streaming games, mini apps, mini games, chatbots, and plugins that are found within their apps, and that mini apps, mini games, chatbots, and plugins will be able to incorporate Apple's in-app purchase system to offer their users paid digital content or services for the first time, such as a subscription for an individual chatbot. Very, 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 very interesting.
Yeah. What's the rub?
So what's interesting here is this is all based on Apple essentially being forced to do this.
Yeah.
They do not want to do this. No. They would not do this if they did not actually have to. Mm-hmm. But due to all of the Epic lawsuits over the last couple of years with Fortnite, mm-hmm. and also just due to other lawsuits that they've been going on. I don't know if you guys have been keeping up with the Apple Watch
shenanigans
that have been going on. Yeah. But there's because of the results of a lot of the legal shit going on, they had to do this. So that is one thing. I do think the next thing is this is absolutely huge news.
Oh.
Right now, there's going to be a lot of bugs. It's going to be kind of weird. This is going to be, I mean, Xbox Game Pass is going to be on iPhone.
Yeah. I mean, when they first launched xCloud, I did the thing where I was with my dad and I had my phone and I was like, I'm playing a game on my Xbox that's in San Francisco. We're in Newcastle on the other side of the world. And you're playing the game. But my dad was like,
Cool.
Okay, dear. But now, like, the fact that I had to go through all those hoops, I had to make its own app button thing, you know, like
app icon.
Yeah, app icon. Do all that. The fact that I could just boot it up and just play, that's awesome. And I mean, like, in terms of use cases, for me, yeah, I've got Steam Deck and everything mm-hmm. now. But, you know, Steam Deck is bulky.
Yep.
If I'm traveling or if I want to just have a bash on something, I'm just like, yeah, there it is. Easy.
It's just more opportunities to get things done that you need to do.
To even set if it's just my log in a light.
To download a game or to just like update a setting or to whatever it is. Mm. Like so many use cases on top of obviously playing the games or getting access to the game. I think that's another huge thing. Like GeForce Now, it's like that potentially could be there's so many people out there that are like, I'm not going to buy a Steam Deck. I do not have the means, but I have a phone.
Yeah.
So cool. I'll be able to get access to games that way. And I think that this being open, Apple's ecosystem is absolutely massive. So you want to be able to reach that audience. And now that they're allowing that, it's going to mean that Nvidia and Xbox are aware of that and they're thinking about it and they're going to design with that in mind. Mm-hmm. And it just allows millions and millions and millions of more people access to video games in their pockets at all times.
And also, oh my love, you're gonna get this bad boy can hold so many actual video games now. Like when Diablo came out, Diablo 4, we were at Summer Game Fest and one of our producers would parsec in to his machine mm-hmm. to play Diablo. And like, if I could just, I think the only game that people regularly play on MacBooks is The Sims. And even then, every time I see a TikTok or something of someone playing The Sims on it, it's on fire.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't have to do that and I can just, you know, stream things.
Now, you asked what the rub is. There is one other part of this that is, it's Apple's
30%.
So Every dollar that's made from this, 30% of it goes to Apple. So that means that something like that.
But it's 70, well, I don't know.
And splits, this is normal in the sense that they're going to always take a percentage.
Oh, for sure.
But that is very much clearly Apple trying to make money, duh. But also them clearly being not happy with this decision and just being like, all right, we're going to do it, but we're not going to make it enticing as much as possible. So,
and that's the thing. If you're Xbox or Nvidia or something, this is opening you up to an audience that previously might not have existed. Like, you couldn't have you could be playing stuff on Game Pass, but you couldn't make any, couldn't do the transactions through it, I don't think.
Yeah, and that's it's always those minor annoyances that add up. And, you know, first impressions mean so much. So if you load something up and you expect it to work a certain way and it bites you, you don't ever use it again, you know? And so I feel like this is going to be a very transitional moment for how games are distributed that I think that right now it's not going to mean too much. But again, I think in a couple years, couple this with the story we just talked about digital and physical games, like, we can see where we're going with this. And there's a lot of bad there, but there's a lot of exciting potential for things to just work.
And the thing is as well, if you think back to how Stadia had their initial, you know, it's like, oh, I'm playing this game on my laptop and then I'll go to this tablet. And I remember that showcase where they, that presentation, I think it was at GDC, where they showed it off and it was like, and now I'm on my phone. That was such a cool promise. Stadia sadly did not pan out. And the difference there is like, Google was doing that because they wanted to do it. Well, pretend to know the business decisions behind Google, as we've seen over the past couple of weeks. But then these companies are now having to do it out of spite.
Yeah.
So hopefully it'll have some
totally
more longevity.
I mean, I talked to so many people at Google during that time and people around Google and things. They legitimately, they believed in it. Like, Google Stadia was not a thing of them being like,
no.
Oh, like, we're just going to do this because we're taking a step into the games. Like, they truly were like, we're going to change games forever.
Invested so much, like, especially, like, gathering talent. Like, it wasn't just, oh, I guess we'll do this. It was, you know, looking out, talking to devs, giving them money, giving them grants, and, you know, bringing them to Google and saying, hey, do what you want, and then just.
Yeah, and I said it back then, and people called me crazy, and they still will now. They did change everything. That set the industry on a path that we are now seeing the repercussions of, and we are now seeing things work in the same way that Steam came out with the Steam machines in the early 2010s, and it was a disaster. It just didn't work at all. And then eventually over time, Nintendo puts out the Switch, kind of like, oh, this type of handheld gaming, like console gaming on the go can work. Now here we have the Steam Deck, and it's like, we've seen it so often with Apple of like, yeah, cool, Android did it first, and then Apple comes out and like makes it mainstream. That's just like how tech has kind of evolved recently. And when I say recently, I mean we're old people now, so it's not recent at all. But like, yeah, it's going to be a very interesting time for games going forward. Story number four, Last of Us Season 2 team adds directors from Loki, Succession, and more. This comes from Adele Anchors Range at IGN, and I'm very excited about it. HBO's Last of Us 2 has added four new names to its directing roster for Season 2, including Loki Helmer, Kate Herron, and Succession Emmy winner Mark Myloid. Both of them are incredible. Both of those shows I absolutely loved, and specifically the contributions from these two people to those shows gets me very excited about this. Oh. As reported by Variety, the Last of Us team has enlisted Herron, the showrunner and lead director of Loki's first season, and Myloid, who won an Emmy for his work on Succession. He was the dude that after the Succession episodes would most often kick off those like the little like behind the scenes of Succession.
Oh, yes, yes.
You know what I mean? And he'd be sitting there and like, we just watched the episode and we're amazed. Mm-hmm. And then he says something that I'm like, I didn't even think about that. You're way smarter than me.
I mean, I know him from, and it's similar to Jesse Armstrong, who was one of the creators of Succession. I think the creator of Succession. It's like they got their start doing cult British comedy stuff. And so that's why I'm really excited, because it is just nice to see someone, I'm on his Wikipedia page right now, who worked on Cold Feet and The Royal Family and Shooting Stars. Shooting Stars is, I'm determined to make Americans love it, because it's so bizarre and I can't believe it ever got made. It's so wild to see that they've gone from this to prestige, incredible drama. And like, I really enjoyed season one of The Last of Us. I'm really excited. And I think Craig Mattson did an amazing job, and the team of directors that he worked with. I really like to see them opening the scope and bringing more people in, because I don't know where they're going to go with season two. We know we've got Abby, but in what capacity do we have her? You know?
Yeah. I am excited. The quartet joins returning directors Peter Hoare, who earned an Emmy nomination for his critically acclaimed first episode, Long, Long Time, as well as The Last of Us creators, executive producers, and showrunners Craig Mazin and Neil Druckmann, who respectively helmed the first and second episodes last time. So, sounds like we have a banger afoot, everybody. But Lucy, I'm tired of all that big news. Mm-hmm. If I wanted something smaller, so the tiniest news I needed to know about, where would I go?
You'd go to our last story, the We News channel, where we cover all the small news items you need to know about.
Welcome to We Knows News, everybody. I love this so much. Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth is out today on PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and S. You're all about this.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah?
I'm 40 plus hours in.
What? So what? Give your quick thoughts on it.
It's impossible to give quick thoughts because there is so much in that game. I think a lot of people ask me, which Yakuza game should I play? If you haven't played anything, I will always implore people to play Yakuza 0. If you don't have time for that, I would say you could play Yakuza Like a Dragon, watch the ending of Man Who Erased His Name, and then you can go into this one. Probably fine. There's a lot of stuff that you'll miss. It is a huge adventure. There is Ichiban, the world's most earnest man. He is a himbo, and I love him so much. There is Kiryu, the stalwart protector, and he's going
also a himbo.
Stuff. Also a himbo, but like, you know, like a strong man. It is, we were talking about it before, Barrett. Like, what would you say? It was like the Fast and the Furious meets
The Simpsons.
The Simpsons in terms of references, in terms of just how zany. Zany is the word I keep falling in on.
Zany's a good one.
Zany's a good one. It's so funny. It's like you will go from crying, melodrama, character action and just, you know, the saddest stuff, and then you will be laughing your ass off because it just tells the stupidest jokes.
You'll get like a big reveal of like a character moment where you're like, damn, this is really important and this is like such a big thing for this character to be dealing with after all of these games in the series. And then 15 minutes later, Tim, you're playing a Crazy Taxi ripoff where you're riding around on a bike doing cool tricks and delivering food to people. And it's sick as hell. And it's in Hawaii and it's fun. They nailed the vibe of Hawaii.
Yeah.
It got the pass from Alyssa.
Good. There we go.
And it's like, it's one of those games where everything you do feeds into something else, and it is so satisfying. Not just like a numbers go up thing. It is, you know, conversations that you'll have with your teammates, or when you're in combat and you line stuff up, and it's so satisfying. You line those pins up and you knock them down. Incredible music. So many mini games. They call it Infinite Wealth probably because you'll be playing it forever. It's so good. I really want more people to play it. Like, it's such a special franchise. Please go.
Check it out, everybody. And then from IGN, Skull and Bones will have an open beta. Ubisoft has announced it kicks off across all platforms, PS5, Xbox Series X and S, and Windows PC via the Epic Game Store and the Ubisoft Store on February 8th, and it runs until February 11th.
And you can also pre-order it to get it three days early.
You could do that, too.
And it officially launches on
February 16th.
Andy's birthday.
Andy's birthday. Happy birthday to Andy. Honkai Star Rail version 2.0 launches February 6th, 2024. There you go. Get hyped about that. Let's do a little thing I like to call You're Wrong, where people can correct us during the show. ZOVGM says, not a correction, but additional context for the physical discussion. Matt Piscatella tweeted today that Xbox only accounts for 10% of all physical game sales. PlayStation then takes 40% and Switch takes 50%. Sadly, the physical market's virtually non-existent for Xbox. Interesting stats, right?
A lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yep.
Then we got...
Oh, I'm sad the Wii music stopped.
Yeah, I know. It's such a pleasant little thing.
Oh, man. That's what they need. Yep. Switch 2. Bring that back.
Just bring it back.
Just bring menu music back.
He just comes out, Miiverse, drops the mic, walks away. Hope he does it on the couch again. We got some super chats here coming through. We got, already read those. Raymond K. Hessel says, I've never owned a Switch. Should I wait for a Switch 2 to play Tears of the Kingdom or just pull the trigger now? Wait. We are definitely at the wait point, I would say.
Yeah.
There's so many, I don't know what consoles you have, but I assume if you're watching the show, you have at least a console. Mm. If you don't have a Switch, I imagine you have a PC, Xbox, or PlayStation. There's a ton of games to play.
And that's although if you're specifically for Tears of the Kingdom, if you wait and they say it's got backwards compatibility or the games will, you know, new versions will come to the Switch too, then wait. if you're specifically after Tears of the Kingdom, get a cheap secondhand one. But that's only if they say that it's like no crossplay.
I firmly believe that we get crossplay. I think that there is.
I hope for that. Just always be prepared.
I know. I think that there is a less than 5% chance that the Switch 2 is not compatible with Switch 1.
I agree.
I think that there is a less than 70% chance. I don't know if I'm saying this right. I think there's a 70% chance that the Switch 2 enhances Switch games. Maybe not every single one.
Oh, like FPS boost on...
I think that Tears of the Kingdom specifically mm-hmm. will be better played on the Switch 2 mm-hmm. than on the Switch 1, and that will be part of the marketing.
You think that'll be the same for Pokemon?
I will not be surprised if... Pokemon's so hard to talk about because of the type of franchise it is and how they release their games and how it affects the cards and the shows and the everything. But I would not be surprised. I think we're going to get another Switch Pokemon game. So Switch 1 Pokemon game. Some type of...
There's rumors of remakes of...
Whether it's a remake of Black and White, Let's Go, Gold and Silver, or a Legends of some sort like they did with Arceus a couple years ago. I think we get another one of those on the Switch. But then I imagine the Switch 2 is going to be a substantial improvement. You gotta hope. We'll fucking see. But I do think we will get a Scarlet and Violet. Like, I don't know. Sorry, let me get my thoughts together. I think we're either going to get a Scarlet and Violet 2 on Switch that is the same world, but it actually runs
how
it's supposed to. Or... there will just be a Scarlet and Violet, like, with all the DLC added.
Oh, like, yeah, maybe, yeah.
Like, in the same way that we got...
Gotta Catch 'Em All edition.
Something like that, right? Where it's like we had the Switch getting all the Wii U ports. Mm-hmm. I think that we will get some Switch ports up, and I think Pokemon is the most likely of those examples. Because I think otherwise, the more core Nintendo, not Pokemon Company stuff, I think those upgrades, I think that they're going to be free.
We'll see.
We got Prof and Dev Play Game saying, will Switch 2 Joy-Con solution have a more ergonomic form factor?
Oh, man. Talk ergonomics to me. As someone who struggles.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like the little Joy-Cons. Like,
I use the Pro Controller.
Yeah. Pro Controller, I think, is fantastic. I think that... when you look at the market now with the popularity of the Steam Deck and with what Nintendo's been doing, I wouldn't be surprised if, and especially if we're talking about an 8-inch screen, we're just talking about a bigger device anyways. My biggest question is not, I think that the next one's going to have bigger controllers, and I think that it'll be a little bit more manageable for bigger hands. But it's also Nintendo. They want it to be for kids, and they also want it to be like...
they've got enough.
Portable as hell.
The kids have enough.
They do have enough. I agree. But the bigger question I have is, Lucy, is the Switch 2 compatible with Joy-Cons?
Oh, God, I hope so. I mean...
I hope not. I hope that they are in terms of wireless connectivity.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. So, like, I think, yeah, they will have a new standard controller, but then any Joy-Con, any Pro Controller that you've had will work as a peripheral. Like, you can plug in... not plug in. That's the complete opposite of what you do. You can connect it, and it just works. But I really hope they fiddle around and change the way that the Joy-Con 2, if that's what it is going to be, actually feels. Because long play sessions, I can't do. I can't do connected to the thing. I am that person who uses the kickstand, and I have to unplug it, and I have to use
it. Oh, really?
Yeah. I got... this is how bad it is. I got this for reading. My Kindle.
Yeah.
But you can get a gooseneck stand, and
You're a Kevin person.
Kevin is my people.
Oh, yeah. Kevin is your people. Kevin, and that's a scary sentence to say. But
I know. But I feel a connection.
Yeah.
It's so good. I can just be in bed and sitting upright or even just lying down. And comfortable.
I love that. Honestly, I've been a fan of the nunchuck style gameplay since the Wii. And like the Wii was not my favorite because I didn't like the form factor of those controllers. Yeah. But the Joy-Con, I'm with you. Like, I do like the ability to just play that way. But something tells me that... like, I would be very interested in the stats from Nintendo of, like, what is the breakdown between people that play docked, so they're not even dealing with this at all. Handheld, just like how it normally is, or tabletop mode, like you're talking about. I would bet that tabletop mode is like the least popular, and like the way that they showed it in that original trailer of like, let's.
Oh, is it the peasant at the party?
Right. Well, there's the party thing, but then there's also like, hey, we're at a basketball court playing basketball. Now let's play NBA 2K on this. Let me put it down and whatever. Like, I think that that's probably a less popular gameplay style, but I wonder if it's really popping off with kids. Like, I just don't know. But
yeah,
I don't think it is though. Like, no. My gut would tell me it's not. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if the Switch 2 is more like a Steam Deck, where it is just it's one nice firm thing. We're not gonna deal with like the loose fucking connections and all that stuff, but there you can still buy Joy-Cons to play wirelessly.
Does this mean the real death of Nintendo Labo?
We'll miss
you every day.
Manic Pixel says living for a Vic and Bob reference on KFGD. There we go. And then Dr. Butthugger. I love the internet. Dr. Butthugger, MD. Right, so it says, what are the chances that we're going to get an Andy birthday stream that's just Skull and Bones?
Oh, well, now it's 100%. Now that you bring that up.
I want them all
in. I'm having a meeting with Mike right after Games Daily about that.
That's awesome.
That's the thing. As soon as he said it was out on his birthday, I was like, I think I know what he's doing on his birthday.
What are we going to do? I love that.
Yeah, they have to dress up. They have something planned for the 16th, but we're going to have a conversation about that.
Yeah.
We can move that around.
And then closing out the show here, we have a more serious one. Raymond K. Hessel saying, Lucy, how can we bring more women into AAA gaming?
Stop laying them off.
That's a good answer.
At least right now. I mean, in terms of that's a very long, complicated discussion, I think. Obviously, change starts from the top. Having people, having women and not just women, like non-binary folks, coming out on stage, like having that representation, but not make it feel like they're being tokenized. Like just have a woman or a non-binary person having the conversation, like because they are there. It's not going to be the dude doing the commentary or the stage presentations anymore. Like representation matters, and so that's part of a very long, complicated answer, and I think that is a great place to start. But also, stop laying them off.
Absolutely. Lucy, thank you for joining us today on Kind of Funny Games Daily. Where can people find you?
Ooh, everywhere. No, I'm online at Lucy James Games is my handle on everything. You can find me day job, GameSpot, and Giant Bomb. And evening job, I guess, is the Friends Per Second podcast. So I'm everywhere.
She's everywhere. Go follow her everywhere. She's great. You're great, too. Thank you for hanging out with us for another amazing week here at Kind of Funny. We will return next week with Kind of Funny Games Daily on Monday. It's going to be a blast. I think it's me and Greg hosting Monday. There's going to be a great energy there, I'm sure. Him coming. Greg Miller's in Florida right now.
Oh, I know, because I asked him for a lift this morning, and he was like, no can do, Luce.
Yeah.
I'm in Florida.
I'm in Florida. So are we going to lose him out there? Is a gator going to get him? I don't know. But we'll have to wait and see. Come back Monday to find out. But if you're watching live on Twitch, we got something real special about to go down. Episode 3 of my new favorite show, Kind of Funny Games Showdown. It's about to pop off. Whoa, there's the set. It's great. Look at that. It's going to be a lot of fun. So you can just hang out on Twitch to watch that after we get a little set up. Otherwise, you got to make the jump if you're watching on YouTube over to the other YouTube link, our live feed for Kind of Funny Games Showdown that will be live very soon, Barrett?
Yeah, we'll take a couple minutes to set up and all that stuff, but it'll be live shortly.
It'll be live shortly. We want to like get it going right when we go. So be a little patient, but refresh that youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. If you're a YouTube person, if you're a Twitch person, just hang out. We'll see you soon. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.